the time of the week where we like to take a look at some of our favorite hidden gems in the streaming services available to us. Make sure we have some bingeable content for the week ahead. I am joined in studio right now by two of our wonderful producers, Bruce and Sam. Gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning.
I am very excited for this because I've got something to add to the table as well this week.
Awesome.
We're going to start with Sam, though.
Yes, we are.
What have you got for
us? It's actually the last swimming upstream of the year, which I'm really excited about that.
Yeah.
I thought I'd cap it off with something that covers all areas.
Okay.
Something that's really beautiful.
Yep.
But something, well, if you've listened to Swimming Upstream, I also cover things that are really nonsensical and creepy.
Yeah, you do.
I do. So I'm going to cover that box as well. This is an animated film.
Okay.
It's definitely not for kids.
Okay.
And it's called It's Such a Beautiful Day.
All right.
And it's available to rent on Vimeo,
which is
a video sharing site like YouTube.
Yeah, all right.
So it's made almost entirely by one person, Don Hertzfeldt, and he's won awards at Sundance Festival. He's been nominated for Academy Awards for animation.
Go Don.
He's been very prolific.
Mm.
So about the movie's main character is Bill, and he's a boring little black and white stick figure with a hat.
Oh, Bill.
Yeah, you don't even hear his voice, actually. All you're hearing is like a vaguely interested narrator.
Okay.
And the odd piece of public domain classical music. It's all written on like paper and filmed with like one of those old animation cameras, one of the last in existence.
Okay.
So it has a very DIY feel to it.
Yeah.
But I don't know, it doesn't seem very much, but if you give the movie a few minutes as time goes on, you start to learn the truth about Bill, that he's actually very sick.
Oh.
And he's beginning to lose touch with reality.
Oh, Bill.
And soon you learn about his upbringing and his love life.
As a stick figure.
Yeah, as a stick figure.
Okay.
It's amazing how much emotion he can put into these stick figures.
Wow.
And at the same time, like, it starts interspersing with, like, live-action footage and effects, like, mingling the traditional black and white animation, and it creates these, like, amazing hallucinations almost.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, like it recreates how he's feeling, I suppose. And it becomes this beautiful, sometimes confronting sensory overload.
I love this.
Yeah,
I'm totally on board with this.
Yeah, it seems like a lot, really.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're
it's
not
a lot of different things.
Yeah, a lot of different things at once. But you're often drawn in by the humor.
Okay.
Which is very dark and very frank.
Okay.
As it goes in depth about Bill's more eccentric traits.
Okay.
I feel like if I said all the jokes, I'd probably ruin it.
No, yeah, don't say anything.
Because you know it all comes together by the end of it. And it's a very original style. It's amazing how the movie can like seamlessly shift from like relaxing, amazing visuals to hilarious, to heartbreaking.
Oh, wow.
To confronting. It's all these.
All from a stick figure.
It's a whirlwind of emotions. So even though the movie's just over 60 minutes, it's a really satisfying watch in that way. And it has a relatively happy ending as well.
Okay.
Which is nice after 59 minutes of black comedy.
Okay. Okay. I can get on board with this. What an interesting find.
Yeah, I know. It's a movie I've liked for a really long time. Came out in 2012. But
2012?
Yeah, it deserves a lot more love, I believe.
Well, then we shall love it this holiday season. That's a good one to sit down.
Yeah, putting all the links up on the podcast after the show if you want to give it a watch.
Absolutely. I'm going to give it a watch. This sounds good. Mm. I'm excited. Now, Bruce, you've got something a bit different, don't you?
Yes. Well, sometimes we know the salmon doesn't make it up the stream. And this week I have something... we have something that I did not enjoy, you know.
Oh.
Trying to prepare for this segment, I was looking through the rough and I did not find a diamond. So, unfortunately, it's a movie called 42.
Okay.
And it's based on the true story of Jackie Robinson, who was the first African-American player to play professionally in the major leagues.
Okay.
It stars Chadwick Boseman, who plays like the Black Panther in Disney's Marvel Universe.
Love.
Nice.
He's actually the best part of this film, I think. Like,
okay, the only good thing in this film.
Yeah, like I think he's... I don't know if he's technically an underrated actor, but this was a film... Like, this
I think
is,
after the Black Panther comes out, he won't be underrated.
Yeah,
anymore.
I hope so, because I saw him in this and I was like, this guy's got chops. Like, he really...
It's such a shame
that he
terrible.
Really knows... Yes, that's the thing. It's a shame that everything else around him is kind of... is Rubs. Bad. so, like, I like baseball films. Like, I love Moneyball, Bad News Bears.
Moneyball's a great movie.
Yeah. Angels in the Outfield. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but it's literally about... It's got a young Joseph Gordon-Levitt in it, and it's literally about...
Young Joseph Gordon-Levitt is the best Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah.
He peaked early.
Third Rock from the Sun,
yes.
Yeah. But it's about guardian angels helping his favorite team win the World Series so he can get adopted. It's this weirdest film ever, but it's really entertaining.
Sounds cool.
Yeah. So... I watched this film, 42, and I just wondered, like, what is this movie?
Okay.
Because it's really unfocused.
Okay.
It's like, all right, so is this it's a biopic.
Yeah.
So I wonder, is it a
Where
movie?
Where did you watch it?
I watched it at home, just on my computer.
Yeah,
alone.
But like Netflix.
Yeah, Netflix, sorry.
That was more where I was going.
Right, yeah. The loneliness is very important.
Okay.
It's a movie about Jackie Robinson. I don't know, if it's supposed to be about this man, it doesn't really quite get in his head enough. You never really feel his
emotions.
Emotions or struggle. Yeah. It's kind of like on the outside. So you're like, well, is this a movie about this turning point in history?
Okay.
It kind of glorifies it a little bit. I don't think it pushes it far enough.
So it could have been amazing.
It's kind of just a bit lukewarm. It kind of sits in the middle. And
it kind of feels like a documentary the way you're explaining it.
Yeah. But a documentary, when you're watching a crime show and they do the flashbacks with the bad,
the
bad
the
acting and stuff.
Flashbacks.
Yeah, it's just
it's a whole movie of terrible flashbacks.
Kind of. It's it's like reenactments more than an actual film.
Oh no.
And weirdly the worst part of it probably is Harrison Ford. He's in this movie, and I love Harrison Ford for the most part. For obviously his older roles, but in this one, his acting style doesn't fit because everyone's trying to do this realist thing, and he comes in and he's playing the eccentric manager who's pushes the boundaries. He's the guy's we need a black man in baseball, and he's doing that kind of thing. But I get this weird feeling there's deleted scenes where he had hemorrhoids or something. He's got this really weird disgruntled way of walking and talking. He looks he's always in pain, but it's never clarified. It's what's wrong with this guy? I don't know if it was a personal choice in his head, if he talked to the director about it, but yeah.
It's like they're trying too hard to make him an antagonist, imposing figure.
Well, no, that's the thing. He's the good guy.
Oh!
He's the guy that's we need Jackie Robinson. This is going to be, and he's, but yeah, he just feels really oddly out of place.
They have all the recipes for a great movie.
Yeah.
And they failed.
They ticked
all
the boxes.
Dismally. But if you're out there and you watch this show, maybe Bruce has a unique opinion and you really like it.
Maybe you'll love it.
We'd love to hear from you at 2SER on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We also have an email account, weekendbreakfast@2SER.com. If you watch this program and love it, you're probably one of the only people, but we want to hear from you.
Feel free to refute.
Yeah, feel free to
and
refute.
We'll get back to you.
You have a right of reply as the listener. But okay, so disappointing, lukewarm.
Disappointed,
film.
Yes.
That's upsetting. Mm-hmm. I have a film that changed my life.
Oh my goodness.
Okay, it absolutely was the film that I watched 8 times. Netflix are probably going to contact me because we know that they all monitor what you're watching and be like, UK.
Was it Toy Story 3?
It was not Toy Story 3. Okay. It was a documentary called Blackfish. Hugely popular when it was originally released.
Has great film.
Lost a lot of steam but picked up again a bit at the end of the year.
Yeah, I've heard about it.
At the beginning of the year, sorry. It's released originally in 2013, so it's nearly 5 years old. The reason that I want to talk about this, though, is that we are coming up on the anniversary of the kind of catalyst of this film's death. So this is a film all about an orca in SeaWorld named Tillicum, who killed a trainer in a really, really tragic accident. And that was the catalyst for this huge, OSHA, which is occupational health and safety in the States, investigation, and a huge movement about emptying the tanks of SeaWorld and getting rid of all captive animals in zoos and especially the way that SeaWorld make their animals perform. It's also kind of the backlash that SeaWorld have received from this. They have now stopped performances. They're redoing all their pools. They won't be breeding orcas anymore in captivity. It's been a hugely influential film, but not a lot of people have seen it. Everyone who I talk to about it, because I'm obsessed, I loved it. Not a lot of people have seen it. So it's called Blackfish. It's on Netflix. It follows the journey of this whale, how he was captured, how he was originally in an aquarium in Canada, and then a trainer died there as well. Whether or not it was his fault, no one really knows, but he's been blamed for it.
Jeez.
Moved to SeaWorld, killed another person. A guy stayed back after hours and jumped in the pool. He was kind of a loner, kind of an outcast sort of, who snuck into the aquarium and into the park and wanted to quote unquote swim with orcas.
Goodness.
Really ridiculous notion, but ended up dying. He was, scalped and all sorts of things.
And they still blame it on the orca.
And they blame it on the orca. Jeez. And then this, the kind of the big one was the death of this trainer, Dawn Brancho, who was doing a live show with him when he attacked her and she unfortunately died.
Yeah, what a horrifying thing
to witness. Tillicum was the largest animal to ever be in captivity. ever. He's the largest animal anyone's ever had in captivity. He was enormous. He's an orca. He's a killer whale. He died at the beginning of the year due to an infection, and he was a lot younger than, you know, wild orcas would have lived and all that sort of stuff. So it's this really important film, and it's very scathing of SeaWorld. If you watch the film, I highly recommend, after you watch the film, then going and reading SeaWorld's responses. They have an entire webpage they built in response to Blackfish, and they went scene for scene, minute by minute, and refuted every single thing said in Blackfish and why they refuted, and they've got all this proof and stuff. It's very, very interesting.
That's
to
like
read.
The one thing you shouldn't do when marketing, like completely,
I know, right?
invalidate this film.
They're like, their entire PR campaign was really interesting when you look at that as well. But yeah. Blackfish is a really, really emotive, very well done film.
It feels like a very sad film.
It's a very sad film. Yeah. It focuses a lot on kind of the problems with captivity for a lot of animals, especially animals that were born into the wild and then brought into captivity. SeaWorld have a huge breeding program that Tillikin was a part of. He's had, I think it was something along the lines of, it was in the kind of high 60s or something, or high 40s, don't quote me, in terms of offspring, but only like 10 are alive today. So kind of the issues regarding that as well, and the death of young orcas in captivity.
Like SeaWorld still have captivity of them.
Yeah, right? So like it's honestly the film that blew my mind. It was the film that changed my life.
Yeah, it's a sad film, but it seems like a very necessary film.
Super sad, and it kind of details this whole court case that was enormous in the States and eventually ended in SeaWorld's kind of demise, if you will. They lost so much revenue. They lost so much attendance to their parks. They weren't allowed to have trainers in the water with their animals anymore.
Even in Australia, I feel like SeaWorld's just been diminished.
Important to note that they're not associated, though.
Yeah.
They're two different companies that own those two entities. They're not the same company.
That's true. It's
and
just
SeaWorld Australia had to like fight really hard to say, no, that's not us, it's not us.
Yeah,
we're cool,
sucks.
We don't have orcas, it's fine. But
and now I think DreamWorld have come in and stolen their thunder too with their own water parks. So.
Yeah, exactly. And it's kind of like, you know, there's a whole heap of issues there as well, and lots of kind of backlash, I guess, to the captivity of those animals as well. But really, really interesting film. It's on Netflix. It's called Blackfish. January is the first anniversary of Tillicum's death. So that's why I think it's like a really interesting thing to watch around this time of the year. Important to note as well, once I was really angry and really hungry, and my boyfriend called me Tillicum. And
what?
That's Excuse my me. Nickname now sometimes. He's like, you're sometime. And I'm like, I'm the largest animal in captivity that is like a killer.
If your boyfriend is listening, get your act together, please.
You suck. I'm not Tillicum. But I was going to like rip him apart at that point. So I'm like, maybe I am.
Yeah, maybe.
Really interesting choices this week, guys.
Yeah,
really,
nice
really
variety.
Interesting. We'll pop some links on the podcast at the end of the show to scr.com/weekendbrekkie. Gentlemen, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Jess.
Thank you.